910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Presidential candidates focusing their final weeks in battleground states. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump holding dueling rallies today in Michigan. Trump pushed back on reports by Politico's Rachel Bade, an ABC News contributor, that he has canceled some interviews due to exhaustion.
I'm not even tired. I'm really exhilarated. You know why? We're killing her in the polls.
The election now 18 days away, showing a close race in battleground states, including Michigan. President Biden in Germany says the death of Hamas's top leader by Israeli forces creates a new path for a ceasefire in Gaza and urged Israel and Hamas to finalize a deal. One person was taken to the hospital after injured by turbulence on a Spirit flight from Chicago's O'Hare to LAX today. The LA Fire Department says up to seven others were injured, but did not need medical attention. And Cuba experiencing a blackout. Officials say the nation's power grid suffered a total disconnection. That cause under investigation. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More families in Wisconsin are taking exemptions for routine childhood vaccinations than most other states. The state immunization program says about 85% of Wisconsin kindergarten students are up to date on their measles, mumps, and rubella shots. The national average is closer to 93%. Voting rights groups are ramping up their efforts after young adults in Wisconsin got intimidating text messages about voting. Molly Carmichael is a recent college graduate and a member of the League of Women Voters.
Right off the bat, I was pretty upset because I figured this was also going out to other people, maybe people who have never voted before and are excited to vote this November. And so getting a text like that would certainly be really alarming.
Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris spoke at a rally at UW-La Crosse yesterday, one of three stops in Wisconsin as she campaigns ahead of the general election in November. Harris, who spoke in La Crosse back in April before taking the top spot on the presidential ticket, also appeared in Milwaukee and Green Bay on either side of the La Crosse rally. The three stops mark her sixth visit to Wisconsin since the summer, and the first appearances here since speaking on October 3rd in Ripon. The election is November 5th. Tonight is the Wisconsin Senate debate between Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. Both candidates have been making multiple appearances across the state in recent days, with Baldwin in western Wisconsin for several stops early in the week. It is one of the most expensive races for U.S. Senate in the country, with polls showing the race getting closer as November approaches. You can listen to tonight's debate on the free Civic Media app on WMDX and several other stations on the network. For Civic Media News in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
It's the Badgers and the Wildcats. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wisconsin takes on the Northwestern Wildcats tomorrow, kickoff at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell was asked, how has the Badgers' offensive line improved this season?
I would say as much as anything is just their ability to play together. You know, we've had consistency up front in particular across the board. But I think their ability to, figure out what it is that they do well and play together.
NFL, the Packers host the 5-1 Texans on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks losing last night in Dallas, 109-84. The Bucks finished the preseason 1-3. Were the rookies paying attention last night to head coach Doc Rivers?
Well, sometimes they hear you, sometimes they don't. It's just normal. There's so many things going on in their mind. When I think they're struggling hearing it, I say less. When I think they're open to hearing it, I say more. And you just got to have a good read.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a slight chance of showers, lows upper 40s to 50. And maybe a shower tomorrow morning, staying mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-60s. Sunshine and warming up for Sunday and Monday, highs to the mid-70s. It's 71 right now.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do we do? we get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Actually not. It's not Dom Salvia. It's Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing for Dom, who's on vacation today. You may know me from my decades of work over at the Progressive Magazine or my last stint over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you don't know me yet, let's get acquainted. I don't bite. I'm really happy about the show we got prepared for you today. I've got Scott Ross right here in the studio with me. At the bottom of the hour, Bianca Shaw from All Voting is Local will join us. And then Jody Habish-Sinikin, who's running for state senate in a really important race, joins us at about 5:06. And then we'll have an organizer from the UW, Dems, who will join us at the 5:30 hour. But let me introduce to you Scott Ross, if you don't know him already. And most of us, I think, know Scott Ross. He's been around a while. He's the former executive director of One Wisconsin, now currently a political panelist on PBS's Here and Now. Welcome to the show, Scott.
It is great to be here, Matt. The chair suits you well. Good to see you behind the mic. And, you know, I'm happy to be at your lineup today. I am humbled to be the opening act for all those people that are doing such important work. You know, Bianca and Jody, I mean, you think about like how what the impact of the work they're doing is going to have on this, on the potential future of the state.
I mean, the amazing thing about being in Wisconsin and knowing some of the players as you and I do, so many impressive people in the pro-democracy movement here in Wisconsin, in the nonprofit sector and the electoral sector. So I feel just privileged to be a part of it. I thought I had retired there, but I kind of got dragged back into doing a little radio, which I'm happy to do. I have fun doing it. I wanted to get your take, Scott, on where we are right now in the presidential race, especially here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you can't overstate how important Wisconsin is to the future of this country. If you win Wisconsin, you win the presidency. I don't think there's any two ways about it. There's no scenario where Trump can win the presidency if he doesn't win Wisconsin. Likewise, Harris needs to win this state. I think there's a path for her that doesn't have Wisconsin, but I think things are all going in the right direction. The race is close. You know, whoever, you know, it depends on what poll you see, you know, and I know that there's an industry of, you know, what you would consider credible pollsters, and you have a, you know, a grifting, you know, trying to move the ball, you know, for largely Republicans.
I know people were panicking when they saw some of those polls come out.
Yeah, but again, remember, we were supposed to have a red wave in 2022, and I still don't believe that Tim Michaels is governor, nor that guy Eric Toney is the attorney general here. So, I mean, again, everybody's going to do the work.
Right. But part of that is the abortion issue. I mean, in race after race since the Dobbs decision, the polls have underestimated the pro-abortion forces.
Yeah, and if you thought they couldn't get any worse from overturning Roe versus Wade, they have managed to do that. I mean, you've got Trump and Vance. You know, they're basically in the 2025 Project 2025 blueprint for what they're going to do in the first 180 days if they seize control of the White House is to basically have stormtroopers out there tracking women's menstruation, tracking women's birth, tracking birth control, tracking, you know, if somebody crosses state lines. Like, it will be, they will use their authority, their ability to have an executive order that will criminalize abortion in all 50 states. It will be gone from the United States of America.
Scott Ross, I've got a theory that there are a lot of uncounted pro Kamala Harris voters because they haven't registered to vote yet. These are young women, 18 to 22. This is their first presidential election, and pollsters are only doing registered voters. I think that cohort, and maybe a little bit older than that as well, may really overwhelm the bad polls that we were seeing a few days ago.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't want to understate that, like, people need to do their work, you know, so like, this is by no, you know, this election will come down to the last hour, to the last ballot.
And by doing the work, what does that mean?
It means, you know, the phone calls, the door knocks, the connecting with people, the continuing ads that we see, you know, the fundraising, all those aspects, the coalition building, the listening to your neighbor, you know, connecting, you know, if everybody connects with somebody they think might not be voting, like you said, if you can connect with three people, you know, and make sure that they get to the polls and make sure they vote for Kamala Harris, you know, Wisconsin's going to go the right way. But all that stuff.
I think that's really important. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Just if each of us make sure that people that we know in our world who may not have voted last time around or may not have been keen on Joe Biden for whatever reason, make sure they vote. Like, you know, one of my sons didn't vote last time around. He's voting this time. He's voting for Kamala Harris. You know, he's cynical about the political system. A lot of us are cynical about the political system. But this race, as he understands and I understand, really important as far as abortion rights go, as far as our democracy goes.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, I see enthusiasm out there. Like, I know my stepkids, one is 21 and the other is 17. The 17-year-old started college but can't vote and is just dying over that fact. And the 21-year-old, I'm trying to talk like, here's some things that I think, here's some things I've seen, you know, because I don't want to be like, you know, the last thing you want to tell a young person to do is tell them what to do.
Right.
So you want to talk to them about, like, you meet them where they're at. And I think that goes for everybody. You want to meet where people are at. You can't start talking about a conversation without knowing where people are at so that you can find that place and connect with them, you know? And I've been a part of issue campaigns that you have to do that in order to, you know, in order to be able to get people to think you're credible. But, you know, I think that without the every piston firing together, whether it's the Democratic Party, the local Democrats, you know, and I had a great experience with the local Democrats in Waukesha last night. Without all those things moving in the right direction, you know, we don't win Wisconsin, and thus we do not win, you know, we don't win the presidency, and we descent into fascism. It is as simple as that. Is the most consequential election of all of our lifetimes.
Right. Tell me about the Waukesha event that you were at last night.
Oh, yeah. So I was over in Milwaukee yesterday to talk to some folks. And I also got invited to speak to the Waukesha County Dems, who were having their, like, last regular meeting before, you know, GOTV starts. And I went down there and, you know, I've done county parties, as you've done, you know, go to county parties. Sometimes, you know, it's six older people, you know.
My wife used to say, if you don't get at least 10 people there, she'll be really unhappy that I went.
You know, it's difficult, you know, sometimes, but I go in the room, there were 106 people.
Really?
106 Waukesha County Democrats sitting there ready to go, ready to do everything they possibly could do the next 18 days to ensure the Democrats win up and down the ticket here in the state of Wisconsin. And that's, I think, you know, I've been here since 1997, so I'm a newcomer, but you can basically see, like, the sea change under Trump of those red counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, where my wife lives, hasn't quite come around to things yet, but the changing percentage of what Democrats have. I mean, Ozaukee County, the referenda last April, 50-50, nearly won there.
Yeah, so. And in the cities, it's pretty split down the middle. Also, great work being done in Jefferson County by the Jefferson County Dems, who've been doing, you know, detailed door knocking there, deep canvassing, they call it.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, the change that I've seen, at least in the party stuff that I've done outside of Madison, because when I used to do, you know, I do the circuit, like, you know, 10 years ago, the first thing people come and say, well, we do things differently in X county. I'm like, I know. You know, like you don't raise money to execute the plan that puts you in the best position to win election day. I know you do it differently. But like that lack of hostility, because I do really think, and I'm not saying that any party chair was bad before, but the work that Ben Wickler has done, not just, you know, the fundraising, which is majestic, but the, you know, the organizing, his focus on that has just been, you know, staggering in terms of the way that it has empowered the local county parties to do the great work that they need to do. So it's not top down. It's, you know, from all directions, moving in the right direction.
And Harris, how do you evaluate how she's done? I've been amazed at how good she's been because, you know, people are always worried, well, if it's not Biden, is it really going to be Harris? Can she get us across the finish line? I thought she's almost been flawless.
Yeah, they really have done a fantastic job because they were ready, you know, because they were ready to do this. And I think that, you know, I think there's a possibility that Biden still could have won.
I know you were a Biden holdout.
I was a Biden holdout only because, like, the idea of Trump being president again is just, I can't, my brain won't, you know, maybe I have derangement, but my brain won't allow that to, you know, put it in my head. But I like exactly the things they're doing. I mean, she obviously, both her and Tim Walz have made Wisconsin a priority. I mean, yesterday they were in, you know, Milwaukee, they were in La Crosse, and they were in Green Bay. And it was great at Green Bay. I actually watched Kristen Lierley sent me the video they put out, and they had part of her speech. So I got to see that, and I thought she did a terrific job. But just think about, like, how inclusive all that is. Kristen's in a tough district. She's doing the right stuff. But they included her as a speaker there because that's how important the message of abortion is, and the need to restore it and codify it and not, you know, turn it back over to the, you know, to the same people who got rid of it in the first place to do more damage.
Jess, if we have a clip of Kamala Harris from Green Bay where she is responding to Trump's outrageous comment to January 6th with a day
indeed.
Of love.
Indeed.
Let's take a listen.
Donald Trump was at a Univision town hall where a voter asked him about January 6th. Okay, so now we here know January 6th was a tragic day. It was a day of terrible violence. There were attacks on law enforcement. 140 law enforcement officers were injured. Some were killed. And what did Donald Trump say last night about January 6th? He called it a, quote, a day of love. But it points out something that everyone here knows. The American people are exhausted with his gaslighting. Exhausted with his gaslighting. Enough! We are ready to turn the page.
A great riff from Kamala Harris yesterday up in Green Bay. Trump on January 6th, and for me, January 6th is really the litmus test of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. If you saw what happened on January 6th and you're still voting for this guy, I don't understand that from someone who wants to live in a democracy.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. And I agree that her comments were spectacular. You know, hitting on, I mean, democracy is one of the top concerns. The continuing effort to attack democracy is a continuing concern of Democrats and independents. And so it is smart for her to talk about it, and it's the right thing to do. It's great when those things happen.
And even a few Republicans, I think. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Dom on the Dom Salvia Show, joined by the one and only Scott Ross. And we'll be taking your calls when we come back. Please give us a call, 855-752-4842.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Will my team make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. And she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Dom Salvia Show. Subbing in for Dom, who's on vacation, much needed vacation. He was off yesterday and today, and he'll be back on Monday, don't you worry. I'm the former editor of the Progressive Magazine, if you don't know who I am, and I'm with Scott Ross here, who is the former executive director of One Wisconsin Now, and you can hear us and watch him debate his sparring partner on PBS's Here and Now. And you can join our conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, as we broadcast all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Scott, I wanted to get your take on the Tammy Baldwin race. I know there's been some concern, given all the ugly ads that Hovde has thrown at us. I guess he emptied part of his bank account, $7 million of it anyway, to throw these ugly ads at Tammy. How's that race going?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say to your producer, in high school, my first girlfriend used to refer to me as the boy with a thorn in his side because I saw the Smiths on their very last tour. So I was having a moment there. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
As far as Eric Hovde, the boy with the transphobia in his side, he has run, literally, like, you have to think about what constituency group he wants to offend next. You know, he said, you know, single moms, you know, make sure their kids are in poverty. He said farmers, you know, sit on tractors and don't work hard. Yeah. You know, he said large people are bad, lazy. You know, they should have higher health care costs. He has just gone out of his way. And that's not even talking about his radical policy positions, because he is in line with literally everything in that Project 2025 blueprint. Everything from ending the Affordable Care Act so that you would, you know, pre-existing conditions would be back on the table. You know, being a woman would return to being a pre-existing condition.
I mean, he's against abortion, even in cases of rape and incest.
Absolutely, without a doubt. You know, and so the most radical. I always want to preface it by Mark Newman ran for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin, but Hovde is a close second for the most radically anti-choice Republican that they have put up there, you know, in at least the time that I've been in Wisconsin.
You know, the story I remember about Mark Newman when he lost to Feingold, instead of giving a phone call concession, nice race you ran, he got on the phone and screamed at Feingold on the abortion issue. I mean, the guy was a freak.
Yeah.
But Hubdy's kind of a freak, too.
Thankfully, the voters, you know, aborted his Senate aspirations in the last trimester. But yeah, I mean, again, you know, and Hubdy, you know, it's health care. It's abortion. It's Social Security and Medicare. I mean, they are so on the chopping block with these guys if they get back in because they want to privatize. They want to cut your benefits. You know, J.D. Vance, what did he say, like 72 now? You can't retire till you're 72. And, you know, this is a guy who, when he pretends he wants people to participate and he pretends he wants to be a part of democracy, he has said nothing about January 6th other than to be tacitly supportive. And he doesn't think old people in nursing homes should be able to vote because he said that, you know, they're going to die in a couple months anyhow.
Yeah, that's why I love the Tammy Baldwin ads. What's wrong with this guy? You know, it was just perfect. I thought they have a debate tonight starting at 7. We're going to be covering it here on Civic Media starting at 6:50 for some intros and then covering it until it ends. And then I know Todd Albaugh and Terry Belm and Dan Schaefer are going to be doing some commentary afterwards. So stay tuned to Civic Media for the Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde debate, the one and only debate. You know, I love Tammy Baldwin. I think she's been a tremendous senator. She's a great person. Anyone who knows her, and she's been all over the state at some of those small meetings we were talking about and larger ones. And if you see her in a small meeting setting, there's no one better, I don't think.
I absolutely agree. There is no one who is more Wisconsin in elected office than Tammy Baldwin. I mean, I just know, you know, like myself, like she was literally the first elected official I spoke to when I moved to Wisconsin in 1997 because she was running for Congress and I wanted to help her out. But she is just, you know, the word I would use is authentic and effective. Those are the two things. I mean, again, this is the person who said, hey, young people should be able to stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 26. I mean, think about what that has done to so many lives, you know?
Help my kids out and me out, I can tell you that much.
Without a doubt, you know, same with my wife. I mean, without a doubt. And, you know, those are the things that make the most difference. The fact that she has fought so hard for Buy America, the fact that she's fought so hard for our farmers and understands that. I mean, she's from here in Madison, but understands what it's like for, you know, it doesn't matter what your zip code is. She can just go in there and understand who you are, what you need, and she can help deliver. And I think that's why she's going to be returned to the U.S. Senate. Again, we have to do all the work.
She does great constituent service, too. She has a great staff all across the state. I mean, people who go to her with problems and they want her problem solved. She's a problem solver.
I mean, and think about what she's done in terms of elections. She beat the most popular politician in Wisconsin history in 2012 with, you know, defeating Tommy Thompson. Then she ran against, I'm going to say this, one of the more repellent state legislators I've ever come across. And in fact, for a little while, her concession speech in 2018 was my ringtone. That's how much I dislike Leah Vukmir. And now she's got the rich guy who's got all the money in the world, and she's still ahead of him. And I think, you know, I think part of this is a desperate attempt by Republicans and Mitch McConnell to say, hey, there's a way that we can, you know, take hold of the Senate, and it has to come through Wisconsin. So they're making that case there. I think Tammy's going to be okay, but very clearly, they are going to do all the work that's needed to be done to win this election.
Yeah, they're just swamping the race with just tons of money. And Hovde's trying to use a version of the commercial that Tammy used against Tommy Thompson, saying she's changed. She hasn't changed at all. Yeah. She's the same decent person she's always been.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, again, I have thought for quite some time that Eric Hovde's biggest, you know, biggest challenge is going to be his own hubris and the fact that he is absolutely calling the shots in this race for himself, which is a no-no. You know, you have to trust people to be able to like make the tough decisions and help you out when you need to be helped out. And it's very clear that this is a vanity project for him. And, you know, the only reason that he could even possibly be close in this race is because of the money that's been spent on his behalf. You know, Mitch is up to what, $23 million in new spending, Mitch McConnell for him. And the ads are repellent. They are transphobic.
Oh,
they are
terrible.
Playing to the worst instincts of the worst of humanity. And I think that the great news about this election cycle is the fact that Republicans are all in on that hateful message and that they are going to get their tails kicked at the polls says a lot about America, and it says a lot more about the American voter.
It's a real test for us. I hope we pass. It's all about bigotry against immigrants, bigotry against trans folks. It's just hideous. Scott Ross, thanks so much for joining me on the Dom Salvia Show. We'll be back with Bianca Shaw after the break. Please stay tuned.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is warning Wisconsin supporters of what she calls the serious consequences if Donald Trump returns to the presidency, especially since the U.S. Supreme Court granted Trump broad criminal immunity.
Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails, right? He who has vowed, if reelected, he will be a dictator on day one.
Harris was in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay yesterday. Drought conditions are reaching severe levels in parts of Wisconsin. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows southwest Wisconsin near the Illinois border and the northeast corner by Michigan's UP are in a severe drought. Conditions are also quite dry in central and southeast Wisconsin. The drought could have an impact on fall colors. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Fire danger is high across western Wisconsin again today. The DNR is enforcing burn bans in many areas due to dry conditions caused by a lack of precipitation the past month and the drying of vegetation this fall. All of Wisconsin is experiencing moderate to severe drought or abnormally dry conditions. Today, it will be windy and warm across the state, creating ideal conditions for wildfires. There have been 14 wildfires this week across the state. You can visit the DNR's website to see the most recent dashboard. A fire at a downtown Rice Lake building destroyed several businesses yesterday afternoon. The Rice Lake Fire Department said that at 3:40 p.m., over two dozen firefighters were sent to a building on East Messenger Street, pulling in additional crews from other fire departments and police as well. Down power lines, a broken gas line, and wind gusts made the job difficult, according to a release. Four businesses were housed in the building, which is considered a total loss, and one firefighter was hurt. For Civic Media News in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Waba. Headed to the theater this weekend? Only a few films open in wide release, but two of them are re-releases. The first one is Back to the Future Part 2, starring Michael J. Fox. Many people think the second installment was better than the original and is much better than the third one. The film is being released in honor of its 35th anniversary. Another re-release hitting the screens this weekend is Hocus Pocus. The 1993 film stars Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. Although critics were lukewarm on it initially, it did very well with audiences and has great performances by its cast. If you're up for some scares, check out Smile 2, yet another horror film that is so far anyway critically acclaimed with an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you're lucky enough to live in a town where a theater is showing Goodrich, you can check out some good old-fashioned comedy drama starring Michael Keaton. The film is not yet reviewed, but could be the perfect recipe if you're tired of being freaked out all month. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a slight chance of showers, lows upper 40s to 50. And maybe a shower tomorrow morning, staying mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-60s. Sunshine and warming up for Sunday and Monday, highs to the mid-70s. It's 71 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll have a guest from Planned Parenthood on how the fight to restore women's health care rights is not losing steam as Election Day draws near.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
It is a beautiful day and the sun is beating down. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Dom on the Dom Salvia Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network. It was great to have Scott Ross in the studio with me. I always love his passion and his insight. You can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we do have a caller on the line. We've got Mark from the SAC who wants to pick up on the conversation I think we were having with Scott.
Yeah, I hear what I've been saying all along, and I've been posting it out there, that unless, as a politician, you can condemn the election denial, the fake elector conspiracy, and the insurrection rebellion against the republic that happened on January 6, 2020, you've got no business running for office, because you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and none of these Republicans and the Republican candidates are coming out and condemning it, period, pure and simple, just without qualification. I mean, Joan Baldwin said, well, there was some irregularities, and no, there were no irregularities, Joan. Little Michael Gableman didn't find anything that he could report, and what did he grift the public for, and that information was not really, he didn't release all the information.
I totally agree with you there, Mark. I mean, January 6th is the litmus test right now, both for candidates running for office and for voters. If you're a candidate running for office and you can't say that January 6th was an abomination, not a day of love, as Donald Trump put it, and if you're a voter and you can't say, I don't want to ever see another January 6th, then I can't vote for Donald Trump and all the Donald Trump apologists, then, I'm sorry. I don't know what kind of country you want to live in, but it's not a democracy. We've got Joe from Madison. I always enjoy hearing from Joe. So tell us what's on your mind, Joe.
Hey, hi, Matt. I wanted to talk a little bit about Mr. Hovde and his bank. I think it's important to recognize that his SunWest Bank is not some little corner mom-and-pop place. It's a bank apparently worth $3.2 billion, so it ain't no small little thing, I don't think. We did talk before about the $23 million in cash that he sent from Banco Azteca up to his bank in four separate plane loads. In cash, $23 million to his bank, which that bank in Mexico had been associated with, it's alleged, with kidnapping, extortion, and drug running. What I also find interesting with Mr. Hovde and his bank, he just said recently, I think it was yesterday, quoted to say, I don't think I would sell the bank if he gets the job of senator from Wisconsin. Wisconsin politics called this a walking conflict of interest, and I couldn't agree more. This guy wants to be on banking committees while he owns a bank. So he would continue to own this bank and then offer legislation that would what? Profit his bank? Would he maybe get a bailout for his bank if he's in trouble? Would he look at deregulation that would help his bank? I mean, how much more stinky can it get? Don't you have to divest yourself from something that's such an obvious source of conflict of interest if you choose to be going into the National Senate? I do not understand how this is getting a pass from people. It just smells to high heaven. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I totally agree with it, Joe. It is very stinky. And, why is this guy running in the first place? Does he want to make himself richer than he is already? Is he just having a midlife crisis? I mean, he doesn't even live in Wisconsin, for God's sakes. I think that his connections with those flights of cash need to be investigated, but he needs to be repudiated first at the voting booth, and I hope he will be. We have another caller on the line. Jacob, what do you got?
Oh, just want to mention that the ads about Tammy Baldwin having a rich girlfriend and other stuff are hilarious.
Well, and they're so homophobic, too. I mean, it's just, oh, my God, Tammy Baldwin's a lesbian. That's the not-so-subtle subtext. And, it's just ridiculous. So, anyway, I appreciate the call, Jake. How ugly, how base, how low is Eric Hovde going to go? I mean, there seems to be no bottom to how low he will stoop. And, at some point, I think those of us who are here in Wisconsin, you know, when we see all this ugliness on our screens, whether it's on our phones or our computers or our TV, at some point, you know, we just throw up our arms. I've been throwing up my arms for about a month and a half now. I don't know about you. I'd love to hear from other callers here, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we are going to try to get Bianca Shaw of All Voting is Local with us here in just a little bit. But I do want to underline the fact that this election could not be more crucial. I was reading an article today at The Atlantic by Ann Applebaum, who's written a couple of books on authoritarianism. And she has an article up there today about how Trump's rhetoric is eerily and scarily echoing the rhetoric of, wait for it, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, Adolf Hitler. And that's not the company you really want to be in. I'm going to just read a little bit from what she had said here. I mean, she quotes Trump saying, they're poisoning the blood of our country and they're destroying the blood of our country. You know, him talking about bad genes, calling immigrants not human, they're animals, he called them. And the enemy from within, which he just talked about this week, calling people like me a radical left lunatic. I mean, what's he going to come do, knock on our door? So she then finds quotes from Stalin and Hitler and Mao Zedong and Pol Pot that are quite similar to, astonishingly similar to those quotes from Trump. And here's what she says. This one paragraph I'll read briefly to you. In each of these very different societies, the purpose of this kind of rhetoric was the same. If you connect your opponents with disease, with illness, with poison blood, if you dehumanize them as insects or animals, if you speak of squashing them or cleansing them as if they were pests or bacteria, then you can much more easily arrest them, deprive them of rights, exclude them, or even kill them. That is Ann Applebaum writing in The Atlantic on an article that I would urge you to read called Trump is Speaking Like Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini. And we just can't have that. We can't have a president who speaks and acts like Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini. And that's why I'm so worked up about this election. You know, I wanted to stay in retirement, but I couldn't see myself just sitting on the sidelines here while we were not drifting, rapidly moving toward the waterfall here, the cliff, and we just can't go over it. We can't possibly go over it. So I urge you to read that. There's also a speaker coming to Madison on Saturday about fascism. There's a lot you can learn about fascism if you want to pay attention to it. That's what we're approaching here with Donald Trump in this kind of language. At this point, I want to introduce Bianca Shaw, if we can get her on the line. Bianca, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here now. Thank you so much. I apologize about that.
Oh, no trouble whatsoever. Bianca Shaw is the senior campaign manager at All Voting is Local Wisconsin. And I got to say, I was just looking at some email earlier in the week and it lit up. People were saying congratulations to Bianca. Bianca's mentioned in Essence magazine as one of just three or four black women that they profiled who are championing voting rights and leading the fight against oppression in key battleground states. So that's pretty cool, Bianca.
Yes, thank you so much. It really was cool. It was such an incredibly humbling experience. You know, recognition, as you know, I'm hearing you speak about your retirement. Recognition is not something that we look for in this work, but it's definitely an honor to be respected and featured in such a renowned publication. It's anything beyond my dreams. So I do have to give a shout out to our colleague, Molly Carmichael, the communications director with the Wisconsin League of Women Voters, for making that connection for me.
Well, Molly's a great person too, and I've enjoyed working with her as well at the great League of Women Voters. Tell us a little bit about your organization, All Voting is Local.
Definitely. All Voting is Local. We are in a few different states. We're a multi-state nonpartisan organization, and we're dedicated to fighting against state and local policies that attempt to silence voters. And that's particularly in black and brown communities, as well as those communities that are historically marginalized. And we also work to ensure every voter has fair access to the ballot and that their voices are heard through that ballot.
And so what have you been working on here in Wisconsin? What are, I know Dropboxes have been in the news with that crazy mayor up in Wausau. Were you protesting that one?
We were out in Wausau, and there is an amazing CNN piece that was released on it because CNN has also been following the work of All Voters Vocal. But yeah, Wisconsin clerks have consistently run safe and secure elections in Wisconsin for decades. I just want to say that. What happened in Wausau with Mayor Doug Denny physically removing that drop box from his location, it was an abuse of his power and an attempt to undermine the authority of Wausau's municipal clerk, who I want to say is the top election official in that city. We are pleased that the drop box has been returned. That's a win for Wausau residents. But Mayor Denny is also under current investigation by the Wisconsin Department of Justice for his actions.
You mentioned that CNN covered this. We've got a clip of that. Why don't we just run a little clip of that for our listeners?
Yeah, so this is actually a clip of Sarah Murray from CNN interviewing Doug Denny on this very matter.
I'm Sarah Murray with CNN. Can we just...
Mind if I come around front? I brought it inside because it was unsecured. For all I know, you know, somebody could have grabbed it, thrown it in the river. Now we would have a real crime on our hands.
Some of those people are saying, I mean, you might have done something illegal in moving the box.
No, absolutely not. Nope.
Have you heard anything about all of these, you know, investigations that may be related to this? No, you haven't heard anything. Do you regret moving it?
You know, there's a saying that dogs don't bark at parked cars. I've had to get attention here from time to time to upset the status quo.
You know, he's getting attention the same way Vance was getting attention by making up the story about the Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. I mean, how disgraceful is that?
It's funny. And then when he says that he doesn't know about the investigation, that was funny to me, personally.
Yeah.
Because anyone who's reading the paper knows about the investigation.
Right. And definitely the strongest support is just, no, I definitely didn't do anything bad. No.
And Bianca, this is just part of the whole propaganda enterprise that Republicans have been running. Donald Trump's been running for 4 years now about drop boxes. And it's just fueling people's misconceptions and erroneous feelings that somehow, you know, the voting is in question. And I don't know how many investigations and audits they need before they realize, look, there is no hanky-panky going on. Drop boxes work. The way to make people have more access to the ballot as opposed to less. But you have people like Mayor Doug Denny up in Wausau or Sheriff Schmidt in Dodge County, who have their little fiefdoms and want to throw their little weight around with a little bit of power that they have, which I think is just pathetic, and not allow people the easy access to voting that we all should have. So you've been working a lot on that. You're also working on other efforts to block voter intimidation, voter suppression, Bianca?
Definitely. So as the senior campaign manager with All Voters Local, we're definitely working in the election administration space to make sure that we're fighting for access to the ballot for every eligible voter. And we also have been focusing our attention on ensuring safe and secure elections for November 5th. That is of utmost importance, as well as preparing for post-election efforts. One major area is supporting Wisconsin clerks who provide access to drop boxes in their community. So we want to support them. And I also have to say that drop boxes are a secure voting option that's been under scrutiny. We're working hard to hold accountable those elected officials who try to create barriers through intimidation or misuse of power, while also supporting the clerks to carry out their duties as well.
All right, Bianca, I'm going to break now. We're going to come back and have a little bit more from you about your worries about post-election matters, because I want to explore that. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Dom. Welcome your calls as well, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here with you on this beautiful afternoon here in Wisconsin. I'm subbing in for Dom on the Dom Salvia Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'm delighted to be joined at this point by Bianca Shaw, the Senior Campaign Manager of All Voting is Local in Wisconsin. Bianca, right before the break, you mentioned that one of the things you and your organization are concerned about is anything that might be happening post-election. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yes, we're just wanting to make sure that we're going to have smooth, safe, and secure elections, and that leading up to that, that we're going to be able to get all the way through certification.
And so people should, relax and understand that their vote is safe and secure and will be counted, that there's early voting starting next Tuesday, that you can do your absentee ballot voting already. I got mine in the mail, and I'm going to fill it out any day now. And actually, I'm going to just drive it to the clerk's office and physically hand it to the clerk. But the drop boxes you can use, too. But then, you know, I know a lot of people who I've been talking to just kind of casually, anecdotally, are saying, holy smokes, I'm worried that the Trumpites are going to do some crazy stuff again. And, is anybody prepared for that? And it sounds like you and other organizations are preparing for that. Is that correct?
Yes, we trust in our clerks. We have elections in Wisconsin are decentralized, and we're unique in the United States in that. There are not many states that have decentralized elections. These are folks that are in communities that know their neighbors. We trust them to run elections. And when things go wrong, as we saw with the 2020 fake electors, folks are held accountable. And so I know that investigation is still ongoing. However, I say that to say that people are held accountable when they don't do the right thing. However, elections in the state of Wisconsin for decades have been safe and secure, and folks have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I think that's the central point here. If you're concerned, you really shouldn't be that concerned. Your vote is safe. Go vote. There shouldn't be hanky-panky. You know, there hasn't been hanky-panky. Our 1,850 clerks know what they're doing. They've been doing it a long time. There are a lot of checks and balances in place. And so just go vote and be confident that your vote is going to be counted, and it will be counted. I'm wondering, Bianca Shaw, do you have a position? Does All Voting is Local have a position on the constitutional amendment that's on the ballot right now?
Yes, we would like for folks to vote no on the constitutional amendment. We don't want to limit anyone's access to voting, understanding that 1 in 10 folks in our state don't have that certification or that information to prove their citizenship or the fact that they are citizens of this state. And so that's 1 in 10 folks that actually have the right to vote. And so I think that by voting no on that referendum, we uphold the integrity of elections.
And just for background for people, this is a constitutional amendment that you'll see on your ballot that is just going to change one word. And the word is from every Wisconsin citizen has the right to vote to only Wisconsin citizens have the right to vote. It's unnecessary because the law already states that you need to be a citizen to vote. And there are penalties, harsh penalties, for voting when you're not allowed to vote. And so it's just an effort brought to you by Robin Voss and the right wingers in the state legislature to try to gin up more hatred about immigrants, that they're somehow taking things that aren't theirs and that they're somehow messing with our democracy, which is just ridiculous. And so it, like other constitutional amendments, these are written in such a way as, do you think, if you're just reading it casually, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Sure, I'll vote for it. Don't get fooled. We weren't fooled last time when we turned down the last constitutional amendment. We need to turn down this constitutional amendment by voting no on it. Bianca, I want to get your central pitch for people to go out and vote. Why is it so important this time?
It's so very important to vote, and your vote is your voice. That's what I tell folks. I know that sounds cliche, but it's so important. And every election shapes the future of our communities, our states, and our country. Voting is your chance to stand up for the values and policies that matter to you, whether that's healthcare, education, jobs, or justice. You don't want to let others decide your future. Every vote counts, and together we can create meaningful change. So I just say, get out and vote on November 5th. Make your voice, your vote, your voice, and make sure it's heard by voting so that you can see the future you want to see.
Well, that's perfect. Bianca Shaw, thanks so much for being my guest here on the Dom Salvia Show. Bianca Shaw is the senior campaign manager over at All Voting is Local. I want to quickly take a phone caller, if we could. L.A. Tom's been waiting the longest, I guess. L.A. Tom, you there? Or did we?
Yes. Hey. Nope, Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're up to bat, baby.
All right. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We're going to show that by our voting. And just everybody get out to vote. I'm working with wisdems.org, put in about 12 hours this last week. And everyone, if you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling stressed, just do something to volunteer because it'll actually make you feel much better. And we're going to win this thing as long as everybody shows up. Bring three people along with you or contact three people that are not normal voters. Don't go after people that are looking for a reason not to vote for Kamala. Go after people that are new voters, are people that haven't voted before, because it'll make your life a lot better.
Great advice, Tom.
Fighting somebody about why not to vote.
Terrific advice. Thanks so much. And we'll be right back on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, my guest for Freaky Friday is Racine paranormal investigator Ron Helmick, who brings actual audio footage of a ghost. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr stops by.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.